Revelations 21, I'd just like to sort of go on with that portion our brother had, not here, but in 1 Thessalonians 4, but a little background first. And I was thinking, as he was saying, any time now, we're going to be caught up, snatched out of this scene, and it's going to be so quick as a twinkling of an eye, and it may be today. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful time we're living in. Brethren, it's going to happen any time, and we're part of it. It's stranger than any science fiction, but this is true. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several pearl was one pearl, and the street of the city pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, I'd just like to mention, only two had a glimpse of what we're talking about. It was John and Paul. And Paul didn't try to tell us. Wasn't lawful. Wasn't any words that he could get it across to what we're going to enjoy in glory when we're with that one we've been speaking of. John tried, and I'm thankful for it. But mostly he used negatives. Mostly he said, as in verse 4 of chapter 21, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, and so on. Well, that's, we can enjoy that thought, but it's negative, isn't it? It's what it's not like. And when he tried to tell us what it's like, he used superlatives. And just as we've read here, every several gate, one pearl, streets, pure gold like transparent glass. Well, there aren't any words, brethren, to tell us what glory is going to be like forever. But now in the last verse there, 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. But at the end, they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our brother brought it to the conscience of everyone here. If you do not know the Lord as Savior, you're going to take the second death, which is just as long as this wonderful thing we're talking about, eternity in glory. Second death is just as long. So I trust all of you have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name written in heaven. Now, if we turn to Genesis, he mentioned all this was in God's thoughts and purposes before the foundations of the world, and we have it in type, very first part of Genesis. In the second chapter, though, I have this thought, the end of verse 17, the Lord warned faithfully, thou shalt surely die. We know why. Disobeying God, we don't know why. Doing your own will, sin. Now in chapter 3, Satan said at the end of verse 4, ye shall not surely die. Satan, of course, denies what God said. He's a liar. God's true, and every man is a liar, and Satan's the father of the lie. So he says, ye shall not surely die. But God said, ye shall surely die. Chapter 5, and in verse 5, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. 11, all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. 14, all the days of Canaan, 910 years, and he died. 17, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And all the days in verse 20 of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And if you go down to the 25th and verse and on, Methuselah, the man who could be in the Guinness Book of Records, the longest life ever, and he died. But notice, the seventh from Adam, a picture of you and I, the church. Verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him. Verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And he was not. Enoch means dedication, devotion, if you will. Enoch is a picture of the church. We are the church, living in the very time now that we're beginning to read of here. And one other place before we go back to 1 Thessalonians, and that would be in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, in verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. He pleased God. Now back to 1 Thessalonians, because I so enjoyed the thoughts of Brother Lundeen that I just want to get it now right down to us to carry those thoughts on a little. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have several things brought out in the sense that it could be called the Enoch chapter. At the beginning, in verse 1, we have the walk. Enoch walked with God. And at the end, we have the rapture. And Enoch was not, God took him. And in between, we have some very exercising things, and I thought it'd be nice just to consider them. Verse 1, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how ye ought to walk. Enoch walked with God. We had that in 5:24 of Genesis. Enoch walked with God. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos. We have to have God's thoughts. We can have God's thoughts by the Word of God and the Spirit, applying it and opening our understanding. We want to please God. It says, Enoch walked with God. Walk and to please God. You know, that's fruit. When you please God in anything you do or say, that's fruit. To the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful, brethren, we cannot just walk, which is so important. I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. We ought to be able to walk in that newness of life that we have in Christ. And if we do, there'll be fruit while we're here. So the first thing is the walk, and it's by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we can have that walk like Enoch, and then there'll be fruit. You know, in John 15, it speaks of fruit. And there it says the Lord continually works in the vineyard, purging, cutting back, working to bring forth fruit. And if you read on in that chapter, it says that there may be more fruit. And then later, much more fruit. And finally, it emphasizes its lasting fruit. Well, that's Enoch in his life. And that's us, I trust. That's what the Lord would have. Not only the walk, but to please God. And so, there's one other thing that comes then before the rapture, and that's the little while. The little while. I don't like to speak about our being left because I like the positive thing. We're sent. The Lord really sent us here as a
the Father has sent me, even so have I sent you. We're ambassadors. We're epistles, known and read of all men. We're lights in this world. And so there's, after the fruit, there's a little while. And I would speak there of verse 4 and on. It says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, but in sanctification and honor. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. We're mentioning in the reading meeting that we're saints by calling, or we're called saints. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. It just means a set apart ones, separated from this world for the Lord. That's sanctification. That's really what it is. It's sanctification. It's absolute. But then there is the practical sanctification that is being spoken of here. And that's the little while. Brethren, that's what brings out something that's pleasing to God and to the Lord, is to be set apart from this world for himself. Practically, we have that in 2 Corinthians 6, do we not? Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will be your father. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He wants us to know to whom we belong. It's the Almighty. And then, of course, it comes out in Timothy, too, where we can be vessels meet for the Master's use if we separate from those that are to his dishonor, and we go on according to his word. Well, practical sanctification for this little while, it's really just separation to himself. And I believe Enoch speaks of that when it says he pleased God before he was translated. He pleased God. And then we have something nice, verse 8. We have the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk through this scene in a way that will be pleasing to God, and there will be fruit. And it says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? We have the Holy Spirit in us, brethren. And the Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless. I send another comforter. That's John 14. And it says, he will bring you into all truth. Not speak of himself, but he will speak of things concerning the Lord always. He'll exalt Christ. And we have that. We have the power for this little while to be separated, to walk a walk that's pleasing to the Lord, as Enoch did. He had this testimony. We don't know what it was the first 65 years, but we do know for 300 years he walked with God, and it pleased God. He had that fruit. So that's the next thing, the Holy Spirit. And then the result is not just fruit for God, but it's very lovely. It's a light and a testimony in this world to all others. I believe we have that in verse 10 and 12, right down 11 and 12. And that ye study or seek earnestly to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. Walk honestly toward them that are without. Brethren, that's the light. That's the light. That's the testimony. I was just mentioning at the prayer meeting the work that's going on up there among the Cree Indians in Saskatchewan. And the Indians, when they get saved, don't talk about it. I found one daughter who didn't know her mother was saved, and the daughter was saved. And I told her, go tell your mother that the Lord Jesus is your Savior and see what she'll say. But they don't speak, even to their cousins or relatives or anybody. It might be partly because of their makeup and nature, but I believe it's more because of their fear of reproach and reprisal. But at any rate, they don't testify themselves very well. But there's a testimony in their life and their home and their family and their surroundings that's a light. And it's a bright light there because morally, spiritually, those reserves are so dark, and the light is just obvious and very bright. They don't have to say anything. And I believe that's what it is here. Walk honestly toward them that are without. There'll be a testimony, brethren, if the Spirit of God and if there's fruit going up as Enoch had. And then we've got that blessed hope our brother was bringing before us. I want to leave time for someone else. But that blessed hope, verse 17, verse 16, the Lord himself shall come, not send another, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. I believe Eric Smith said in the Inca translation, they wanted the word snatched away, trying to show how quickly it'll be before the tribulation comes in here. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Perhaps today? Isn't it wonderful? And he was not. God took him. That's a picture of us, brethren. That's all they'll be able to say. We're not. They'll believe a lie then, of course. Satan will bring in a lie and there'll be a strong delusion, but they'll not know where we've gone. How solemn it is for those that we love. And knowing the terror of the Lord we've been reading about, we persuade men. But Enoch was not. And before he was translated, before he was taken home, he had this testimony. He pleased God. There was fruit in his life that gave God pleasure and pleased the Lord. Just one last thought, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we were born. That's why we're created, to give pleasure to the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? We don't know how much time it is. I do not expect to leave this conference for home. I really expect to leave for my eternal home to be with the Lord. We ought to start every day with those two words, brethren, perhaps today. It sets the heartstrings right for a walk through this world apart from it, separated to God by the Lord, and a concern for the lost all around us. It brings you that kind of a spirit. And then if he doesn't come today, I put it this way, that's all right, because tomorrow I start with two words, perhaps today. And it's wonderful, because if he doesn't come today, it means he's got something for us to do for him tomorrow, fruit. Pleasing to God. It's a wonderful thing. I hope the young people get the sense of what this chapter really means. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. But he had this testimony before he was translated. He pleased God. Brethren, there's a little while. And really, what really is important is that we please God in what we do. And what we say.